Blog Talk Radio.
Show with TLR. It is July 1st, and you already know why you're listening to what you're listening to in the background as it marinates. The Phoenix Suns are going back to the NBA Finals for the first time in 28 years, and they disposed of the Clippers and the resident pest, Patrick Beverley. Thank you for joining us today. We are coming to you live, Cave Show with PLR from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. It's a double celebration because not only did the Suns dispose of the Clippers, but it's cigars with the Cave Show. Favorite day of the week, I let you know it's Thursday already. And listen, let me just be honest and let me be plain and simple about this. This show today is going to be very one-sided. We're talking the NBA, we're talking the Suns, and then we're going to talk the Suns, and then we're done, we're going to talk some more Suns, and we're going to talk a little bit more about the Phoenix Suns. So as much as there's a bunch of other stuff going on, we are a single-minded show today. So if you aren't down with hearing about how Chris Paul came to Phoenix, how Devin Booker grew up in front of us, how DeAndre Ayton made you now finally say that was the right pick. If you're not down for hearing that today, there are some other spots you should listen to. I know we're in Stanley Cup Finals. I know Wimbledon's going on. I know that the Diamondbacks really suck. We're not getting into any of that today. This is all about the Phoenix Suns making it to the finals. I have a ton of sound to play from last night, reaction straight from the locker room right after the game. I will give you my reaction to that. I'm trying to think of a way to say it, and I can't. That horseshit maneuver by Patrick Beverley. I'll give you my thoughts on that as well. We'll do all that right here on the Cave Show with Kellogg. All right, from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. And we are brought to you by Maduro's. Come on down here and let them know that PLR sent you to get 10% off of your cigar purchase. Become a member. Get you access to the member's lounge. Locker backs up to a humidor, refrigerator, microwave, everything you need to fill a home. Ton of TVs. So you can sit back, relax. They serve beer and wine, have an adult beverage, and watch the games. Now, coming down here doesn't mean you have to become a member. This place is great. There's still a lot of comfortable places to sit, still plenty of TVs to watch, one of the best selections of cigars you're going to find. So come on down, check it out. You will like it. Now, if you can't make it down, no worries. Just go to Stogie World, StogieWorld.com. If you order your stick early enough in the day, it should ship out the same day. All this happens right here at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, 4991 South Alma School. That is Alma School and Chandler Heights, locally in Chandler. Like I said, let me give you these topics again. The NBA, the Suns, the Phoenix Suns, Devin Booker, Monty Williams, Aiden, campaign, the Phoenix Suns. Oh, did I mention the Phoenix Suns? Those are the topics today. Thank you for hanging with us on the K-Show of PLR. I am not, as they say in Texas, toting this weight by myself, and we will get to your phone calls. 917-889-7828. Also, if you're a fan, you feel a certain way, I'm going to try to leave time for you to give a call in. That number again, 917-889-7828. But like I said, as they say in Texas, I'm not toting this load alone today. On with me is the man himself, known from Inside Sports, former digital media director for the Washington football team, Brother Ed Cole, my man. What's good with it?
So, Paul, I noticed that the Suns won last night. Are they the topic of discussion today? Are we talking about the Suns, or what's going on today? I don't think you really laid it out clear enough for me.
I didn't lay it out clear enough? I'll do it one more time. We're talking about the Suns, and then we're done. We're going to talk about the Suns. And then we're done. We're going to talk about the Suns. Okay,
it's clear now. Yeah, yep. It's 4K.
Hey,
it's 4K clear now. I got you.
before we roll, let's listen. I promise that if Suns fans or anyone calls in and wants to chime in, I'll give them their day today because today is the day for Phoenix. We do have a caller online. Let's bring them in. Thanks for holding. Came show with PLR live from Maduro's 5-Cigar Tobacco along with Ed Cole.
Congratulations.
My man.
Thank you, Lou.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You did it.
It was an incredible game.
I told everybody that the Suns were going to take it. Yeah, was a great game. Well, for those who were Suns fans, of course. Huh. It took a long time for you guys to get there, but congratulations.
Well, it's only 28 short years, right, Ed?
Yeah, only 28 years.
That's only my nephew's been alive.
No, it's a good feeling, and I feel good. This crew worked extremely hard to get to this point. This isn't a fluke. This is a very, very good basketball team. And Ed could attest to this. Time the season started, I kept saying, this is not SOS. This is not the same old Suns. This team is different, and they're proving that.
How do you make different, though?
Well, I could start from I'll start. Ed, may I start from the top and work my way down real quick?
Yes, because I think I know where you're going to go, and if you don't go there, I'm going to go there.
Uh-oh.
First thing they did was they hired a grown-up to be their general manager. And in charge of basketball operations.
That's my point. My point's out the window.
So that's where they started. They got Robert Sarver to not tinker or meddle, to say, hey, look, I'm going to trust this person to run this. So that's the first part. The second, the Suns decided to stop being tightwads and hire a grown-up to be their coach, as opposed to being cheap and hiring a bunch of guys that's never had head coaching experience. Monty not only has coached a veteran team, he coached a team that started all over and got them to the playoffs. So you went out and you got a coach. Then you go out and you're only as good as the head of the Saints. They went out and got a real point guard, an accomplished point guard that's going to walk into the Hall of Fame. They convinced, I don't know how they did it, Devin Booker to constantly work to get better and get prepared. And then everything else comes after that. They stopped drafting guys that were on prom 6 months ago and started drafting guys that came. So when you put all that together and you finally develop a culture and you finally develop some team chemistry, you win basketball games. So there it is. That's how they did it.
Ah. I mean, Booker, he's a star player.
He is. There's no secret about that.
Yes.
No.
There's no secret about that. He is the star of this team. He is the future.
And it's just amazing to me, fellas, how and D-Book's first playoff series ever, DeAndre Ayton's first playoff series ever, how they stepped up and they look like professionals that have played in the playoffs multiple times. They've made deep runs in the playoffs before, And if you didn't know that, you'd be like, oh, my gosh, these guys, yeah, these guys have been with the – they've been in the playoffs a lot of times, but no, this is their first run at a championship, and they're playing at a championship level, clearly. You know, DeAndre's doing his thing. He's getting his scoring. He's down there in the post. He's disrupting things. He's getting rebounds. He's shooting at a high percentage. Last night, 8-for-10 for that young man in 40 minutes of action, 17 rebounds, 5 on the offensive boards. D-Book, 22 points and 4 assists. And we talk, of course, I mean, Chris Paul, I mean, the ageless one, 30 of his 41 in the second half, and no turnovers in 35 minutes of action for CP, 7 of 8 from three-point range. It's contributions from everybody. And then, oh, the fact that you throw in 27 assists on 53 made baskets, that means that everybody believes in each other, Paul and Lou, to the point where everybody,
yes.
if you find a guy open and you know that guy can hit that shot, he's passing that ball off. They're unselfish in the way that they go about getting victories, and it's showing. Campaign last night, 7 assists off the bench in 16 minutes of action. Everybody is contributing to where the Phoenix Suns right now are, which is 4 wins away from their first world championship ever.
There it is, Lou. In a nutshell.
In a nutshell, indeed. Well,
so
you guys deserve it. I mean, I knew with the problems that, you know, the Clippers were having when they missed out their start playing, like, there's no way they're going to come back with this. When Kawhi went down, okay, hand it over, Suns are going. You did it.
Yeah, it's not that easy, Paul, because the Clippers are never going to go away.
No.
And we saw it this entire series. We saw it against Dallas. We saw it against Utah. This is a team that could have easily rolled over and said, okay, well, we're down 2-0 to Luka and the Mavericks. We're just going to go ahead and just give this thing up. But, no, they fought back in that series, won that. They fought back from a 25-point deficit in Game 6 against Utah, won that series, and they fought so hard. And this last night was the biggest loss of the playoff series for them. They had never lost by more than 10 points the entire playoff series this year, Lou, and last night was their biggest loss of the season, playoffs-wise. So that should really tell you where the Clippers were as far as their competitive nature and how hard they fought with the Tyronn Lue coach team. You know they would never be out of a basketball game except for last night.
Right.
Yep. Hey, Lou, listen, we got to jump here, but I want to leave you with something.
Okay.
To remind you of what happened last night.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, I get it.
Oh, just enjoy it. All right, my friend. Catch up with you for sure. Thanks, Lou.
Thank you, Lou.
All right. Congratulations. All right, and hope you do well in the finals.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
I had to leave him with that. I know we have a commercial break coming up, so I'm gonna take it now. And that way we can get to some of the sounds from last night. I do want to remind people, though, this all started against the Lakers. And when they left that series, they left with this.
I mean, they pretty much just kicked their asses. I mean, there's nothing else really to say.
On that,
yeah, you're right, LeBron.
Commercial.
Yeah.
This is the Cave Show, PLR, one only Ed Cole.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
You never know what you'll hear on The Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend and I said, hey, shut up, because I need to listen to The Cave Show with PLR.
Welcome back to The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. It is Celebration Thursday. Cigars with the Cave Show Thursday. We come to you live from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. The day after the Phoenix Suns punched their ticket to the NBA Finals. Great day in Phoenix. It's just a party. The party started at the airport last night, and we have so much sound to get into to bring it to you so you can hear what the players were actually feeling. If you ever missed this show at all, As you know, we are live 1 o'clock every day. All you have to do is go to thesportscave.com, hit that listen live button anytime, any day. All of our shows pop up. Pick one that you missed. Pick one that you like. You want to listen to it again. Obviously, you're here because you hit that button today at 1 o'clock. Also, you can find us on Spotify and iHeartRadio. Just go to The Cave Show, brought to you by thesportscave.com. And I want to play something for you from last night. Monty Williams, just a class act all the way around. And he just talked about the gratitude he has being at this position.
Couldn't do it justice right now. I'm just unbelievably grateful for the blessings that I've received as a coach, working with people like Randy, getting to coach the players, moments like this, just out there on the floor talking to a few of the guys. They were like trying to figure out the feelings we were all having. And I remember, you know, being in those moments when I was, you know, in San Antonio. It's hard to describe. You're just grateful for it. And we know we have more work to do, but it's hard to describe it in the moment. You're just grateful for being in these moments with people you're with every single day, and thankful for your family, thankful for, again, the people you work with, thankful for the fans that travel, and to be able to win a game like that is huge for the organization, the city, all of that stuff. So that's what I have in my heart right now. It's just a lot of gratitude, and I'm just so thankful God has given me the job I have, and I get to work with the people I work with.
And is it possible not to admire and respect Monty Williams?
Well, if there's any person that does not admire what Monty has done and what he's been through in his life and where he's gotten the Suns to right now, you must not have a pulse, because he is the perfect coach for the Phoenix Suns organization, and it showed, because he's taken them to the NBA Finals along with teaming up with James Jones, the general manager, two strokes of genius on the part of Robert Sarver to bring those two young men in there. Might I add, two African-American men who are leading the Phoenix Suns to, hopefully, we hope, a world championship. So we'll just throw that in there as well. But Monty is he's the embodiment of what you want in a head coach. I mean, the way he carries himself, the way he conducts himself, the way he leads his players in the way they conduct themselves. I mean, for instance, last night, when with the despicable act that Pat Bev did against Chris Paul when he pushed him and knocked him down, that could have turned into an entire brouhaha, Paul, and you know it could have. If those guys would have gotten out of character, guys would have gotten suspended for the NBA Finals, and it just would have been horrific. But I'm sure that Monty calmed those guys down and said, look, we know the Clippers are going to try to get us out of character, so no. You follow my lead, and that's the way the Suns are, man. They follow the lead of their head man, Monty, and that's why they are where they are, because he's so level headed and even keeled and so laser focused, and he's got his guys in the same light, thinking the same way.
Last night, a bunch of people that were around me said they would have sent a goon squad after Patrick Beverley. There were a couple people in the game, Jay Crowder being one, Frank the Tank standing right there as well. And they said, why didn't Frank just unload?
Yeah.
And I said, what you have to do, and I'm going to take you back here. I'm going to take you back to Superfly. And if people didn't watch Superfly, that's on there. But in a new Superfly, there's a scene where my man says, I've been catfishing the security guard for a while. And he said, yo, man, I see you play the long game. That's what the Suns do. They play the long game. Let's say Frank Tank, who didn't play a minute in this series, throws that punch and gets suspended for game 1 and 2. And Dario gets sick. Dario gets hurt in practice. Dario sprains his ankle. He gets COVID. Who knows? Now, you're down two players instead of one. You have to maintain your cool And here's the fun part about that whole thing, and I'm going to play it for you now. Jay Crowder, it's funny, and I'll play Chris Paul a little bit later and what he said, but he said, yo, you get to a point, you just break people.
We know they broke. We know we broke them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's no better sign of defeat than knowing that moment, you know, that moment where it's like competition meets and we just can't do it. You can't do anything else to help your team overcome that situation. He's just broke. And that's what we was trying to reach. We were trying to reach that point without even talking trash talking, you know, but that's basketball trash talking. But we just wanted to reach a level of togetherness and competitiveness to overcome whatever comes with this game. We knew it was going to be a tough one. So once we knew we got the game won, we knew at some point it would break. And I think that's basically what you saw. You saw a breaking point with one of their leaders in their locker room. And that's a great feeling to have, especially in the playoffs. Such a great feeling.
And your thoughts?
Yeah. And this is not, what Pat Bev did last night and what he did in Game 5 to CP when, you know, when he tried to taunt him and do that little whatever that dance was he did over CP. This is nothing new. We know that this is what Pat Bev does. This is what he specializes in, trying to get in people's heads and, again, trying to throw them off character so they can get thrown out of the game or it throws them off their game when they resume play. But the Suns weren't falling for it. They were not falling for the okey-doke. Like Eddie said, they were not falling for the banana in the tailpipe, right? So they saw him trying to bait them, but they were like, we could have had an all-out brawl after he slammed Chris to the ground with that push. And thank the Lord that nothing happened to Chris, because that could have went a lot of different ways badly, Paul. But thank the Lord CP did not get hurt when Pat shoved him to the ground. But I love the fact that they kept their intestinal fortitude, Paul, and they did not go off, because if they did, like as you mentioned, a lot of guys would have – this team would have suffered, because there would have been some suspensions for at least the first two games, as you mentioned, here in Phoenix for the NBA Finals, and the Suns could ill afford to lose anybody at this point.
You know, when I was going to get – I'm going to talk Pat Bev a couple of different times in this show, but there's a couple things – that he reminded me of. And I'm going to, with everything in me, keep this clean. And you know that's a lot of work for me to do. But he is that dude that, and we all know someone like this. And when you know someone like this, you don't mess with them. They want to tell you about you. Are they ready to tell you about you? They ready to bring up every fault you have. But when you tell them about them, then they get in their feelings. Now, on Monday, when he did his taunting, which he should have received a technical for, and he didn't, was great. When he crossed up, and it was a beautiful crossover, he crossed up CP3 in the game last night, and after he did it, he flexed and talked and said everything. But all of a sudden, when the shoe's on the other foot, he's pissing in his panties. So all of a sudden, now he can't take it. So if you can't go both ways with it, it's time to shut the hell up. I went from, honestly, admiring his hustle. Look, this is a dude with limited talent. This is a dude that doesn't really play real defense. He's allowed to grab, hold, tug, everything. And for whatever reason, the NBA and the refs have enabled him. And what happens when you enable an asshole? They do more. They do more and more. So by enabling him, and when I say that, you had him in game, I believe it was game one or two, when he headbutted Devin Booker. If you lunge with your head, that's a flagrant. There's no getting around it. Yes. That's a flagrant. They didn't call it. When he talked to Chris Paul, that's a tech. They didn't call it. So if you don't stop him or stop anybody, it's like a child. If you allow your child to keep doing stuff, they keep pushing the envelope until we get to this. So everyone, to me, is culpable for his actions, because there's a difference between being an irritant and playing good, hard basketball and just being a jerk. And I think he crossed that line to the fact that I was on the phone last night, and I know you're going to go name drop, with some NBA players texting me, this dude is scum. If I was in the NBA, I'd give him a pork chop to his head. And that came from more than one NBA player that I'm texting last night. Nobody liked that nonsense. So it's not, there's no place for that.
No, but you know what, Paul, man? Yeah, they could have went in that same alley. They could have went in the muck and mire that Pat Bev was trying to pull them in there. But, again, I love the fact that they stood their ground. They took the high road. And you know what the high road is leading them to? It led them right back to the let him right back on the tarmac, and let him right back on that charter flight, and let him back right back here to Sky Harbor Airport. And you know what they landed as in Sky Harbor Airport? Western Conference champions. And now they get to play for they're 4 wins away from a world title. That's what the high road gets you, Paul. It gets you this kind of success. It gets you a feeling that you have not felt within this organization in almost 30 years. And now the Clippers are and Pat Bev are just like, okay, where am I going for vacation? Man, okay, our season's over. Meanwhile, the Suns are moving on.
Yes, and there's no stopping that train. I do want to keep talking about the Suns, and I do want to focus a little bit Clippers and their season. I think it's sad in the way certain members of the media and what we do take so long to recognize something. There's an old rap song that says, it don't take all day to recognize sunshine. Well, it takes a lot of cats a lot to recognize it. We saw KD finally get some real love in a loss. Why did it take KD losing for some people to realize that cat's a bad ball player? That dude is unguardable. Why did it take that? Now we hear how good Ty Lue is. Ty Lue's been good. They make it seem like, oh, well, yeah, LeBron, it was easy. Coaching LeBron James is not easy. We can see this because coaches that push back on him usually don't keep their job. So that's not an easy task. So I applaud him, one, for saying if the Lakers can't give me a 5-year deal, I don't want it. Because I don't know if you remember, they structured his contract offer to fit LeBron James' contract offer, basically saying you can coach LeBron, but we don't know how well you can actually coach. By coaching this team, he finally showed people that didn't know or didn't want to know how good of a coach he is. Him coming out with a small lineup in game 5 in Phoenix completely threw the Suns because they scored 58 points in the paint. They took DeAndre Allen completely out of the post. That's coaching. That's not an accident. That's strategy. That's chess.
It is. And, Paul, that's brilliant because he knew that DeAndre, if they threw Nicholas Batum out there and DeMarcus Cousins, as well as he played in 5 and 6, DeMarcus did with his scoring and everything, DeAndre would have eaten those two cats alive, and he knows that.
I find it amazing that it took that for people to now say, oh, well, Ty Lue's one of the top coaches in the NBA. Ty Lue has been one of the top coaches in the NBA. Look, I want to get back a little bit, and this is the Cave Show with PLR with Ed Cole coming to you from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. I want to play something because this I found really, really cool and really, really interesting. They win the Western Conference Final. Everyone's celebrating. Everyone's happy. Listen to Devin Booker.
That's a long time coming. You know, that's what I said to Jay Gaspar, equipment manager. He's the only one in the organization that's been here longer than me. You know, he's going on year 30, so he was here and Julie. So Julie's been here also. But it's been a long time coming. We've seen the bottom. The bottom of the bottom for multiple years. And just keeping my head down, you know, waiting on this moment right here. And Monty coming in, building the culture, you know, him leaving us with the preparation meets opportunity. And you know, that was these moments right here, and we took it and we ran with it. But we still have work to do. I mean, this is nice and all, but, you know, we're going for Larry for sure.
And for those of you that don't know, that's the NBA trophy, the Larry O'Brien trophy. That he's not satisfied. That you like. He's like, yo, this is great. That's not what we're here for. And you could tell in his voice he was already calculated and plotting the next move. That's the kind of assassin I want on my team, Ed.
Yes, a guy that just, he knows what the ultimate goal is, yeah, winning Western Conference is great, but it will be an incomplete season if you don't win the World Championship, either over Atlanta or Milwaukee, depending on how the East comes out. But, yes, that should be the focus of everybody within that organization, that it's not business. Business is not done. This is like EPMD, unfinished business. They got four more games to take care of before they can hoist Larry O'Brien and be world champions for the first time ever. This is a really good topping on that cake, Paul. But there's more layers to that cake and more toppings that you can put on there and more sweetness that you can add to that cake, which will be that world championship and hoisting the Larry O'Brien trophy at the end of that series against either the Bucks or the Hawks.
Another thing he said, and we're going to focus a little bit here on some of the things he said. He talked about the honesty with this team, and
mm-hmm.
you cannot be successful if you're not surrounded by people that'll call you out for your crap, that'll let you know when you're not doing what you're supposed to do. And he talked about that. Listen to what this young guy said.
Yeah, I mean, Chris, like you said, he took us to meet D'Angelo Carl pre-draft. You know, he came and worked out with us a couple of times, and that's where the relationship started. But, you know, I think he thinks when we played against each other the first time that it was going to be a love, but no, I started talking shit to him right away. and what he says about, you know, we almost get to fight, and that's because multiple times we've had our disagreements on the court multiple times. And, you know, it's just those type of competitors, you know, the players that you like. I don't like playing against that guy, but I love him on my team. And Jay Crowder is also one of them. So I've got into it with him too. So, but, you know, those are the ones that you want to go to war with. You know, those are the ones you want to put the jersey on for. And, you know when it's not your day that, you know, having people behind you, having that support system behind you gives you confidence to keep going. And just honesty, you know, like what I said with Mark, you know, this group, they've been there before. You know, they've been in these situations before. So the honesty with knowing what the bigger picture is and what we're trying to get to, you know, has been since day one and not a problem with us. Just somebody's messing around, let them know.
You got to love that. When someone's messing around, let them know. They're here. This is business. This is a business trip for Devin Booker. We'll party at the end. We'll appreciate where it's going, but we're going to party at the end, and that's when we party.
Yes. Yes, because when you start smelling yourself, Paul, you know the phrase, when you start feeling yourself thinking, okay, yeah, I think we've arrived. We won the Western Conference. That's when the Hawks or the Bucks are going to come here next week and smack you dead in the mouth because you were not paying attention and you're not doing what you were supposed to do as far as focusing on the task at hand, which is, again, getting four more victories. You're almost there. You're almost at the finish line, but you have to get over that finish line and complete your goal, which is winning those four games. And as D-Book says, they got to hold that Larry O'Brien trophy, which they'll hold and cherish and love for the rest of their lives if they win this series.
And when you think about the way they played last night, you can basically break this game up, and it'll show you that they're a team. And it'll show you from the top down with the coaching of Monty Williams. Like I said, give Ty Lue his credit. They came out and in game five, and they came with a small lineup, and they neutralized DeAndre, and they brought him out from under the rim. And when he was under the rim, they created difficult angles to get the passes in on mismatches. There were a lot of hands around him, a lot of good defense. This game, they changed. Notice there was a counter move to the move. And this is why I love basketball so much, because football is one game. You get halftime to make your adjustments or end game. And that's it. A game's done, next opponent. In hockey or in baseball, things can change and fly. I think hockey's a little bit more like hoops and certain things. But there was a chess move made by Ty Lue, then Monty came back with another chess move. His chess move was, we're going to bring in Torrey Craig. We're going to put him on Paul George. Similar size, stronger, more physical, bothering more. By doing that, what you said was, now, Morris Sr., you're going to have to beat us. Now, Reggie Jackson, not only are you going to have to beat us, we're going to slide Book over on you some and make you shoot over a bigger person. So that just trickled down, And then you got Book getting off to a good start. Then you see DeAndre Ayton do his thing. Then you see Jay Crowder doing his thing. And then Chris Paul came in and closed it. Ed, if that doesn't talk about what a complete team is, then I don't know what it is.
Man, let me tell you, man. All the moves that Monty has made has been strokes of genius, just unbelievable. And again, like you said, I will throw my hat off to Ty Lue and what he did to get his Clippers to where they are. The only team to ever come back from 2-3 enough, 2-0 deficits in a playoff series and get them to where they are. He is an absolutely phenomenal head coach, and anybody that thinks otherwise, you are a daggone fool. I don't know what you see in Ty Lue that would lead you to believe that he is not an outstanding coach. He's a championship coach. He led the Cavaliers to their first ever championship. So why would you say that Ty Lue is not a great head coach? But going back to the Suns, yeah, it's just all about those adjustments, Paul. As you mentioned, chess moves. Getting DeAndre involved early in the game last night when he played the entire first quarter, 5 of 6 from the field, 10 points. You know you had to get the big fella involved and get him started early. And as you mentioned, D-Book started off strong, 4 of 7. He had 9 in the first quarter. And it's just the way you set the tone. You know what happened in Game 5 in the first quarter, Paul. You scored 26 points. You got outscored by 10 in the first quarter. So you know you had to come out with a stronger effort in the first 12 minutes of basketball. You had to set the tone at Staples Center in Game 6 and let the Clippers know and let the world know, look, oh, we came to play today. We're coming to knock this team out. We are not playing. We do not want a Game 7. We are going to handle business right in your own building and send you packing.
Exactly. Listen, I see we got 3 callers on, so I'm going to just go in order. This is the Cave Show, PLR, sitting here with my man, Eric Cole, coming to you live from Maduro Spine, Cigar and Tobacco. Have a caller on hold. Thanks for holding on. Cave Show, PLR.
Hello?
Yo, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing? What's up?
All right,
good, good.
This is Carrie.
Hey, Carrie, how you doing, bud? In the house.
Yes. What's up, fellas? Oh, yeah, shoot. Okay, that's better. I'm sorry, I had my phone on speaker. Yeah, I was just calling in and listening a little bit, and man, you guys are right. You guys are right. Monty with chess moves, and man, I'm not gonna lie, I didn't think much of Ty Lue as a coach before this series. I really didn't. I thought when he won that championship with Cleveland, with the roster that he had with LeBron in his prime, I think I won that championship as a head coach. You know, just going out and letting the balls out of the bag. But no, that guy's an excellent coach, and I think the Clippers are just missing a couple of pieces, and you know they'll be right back in the mix. But who cares about the Clippers, man? It's all about the Suns.
Right. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Wow. What are your thoughts on, and I'm trying to solicit thoughts here, and I probably already know where it's going. Patrick Beverley was able to taunt and flaunt, but when it came back at him, he tucked that tail and took a child move out. What are your thoughts on Pat Beverley?
Yeah, you know, I actually put a tweet out last night that I stole from a fellow fraternity brother of mine in a group chat. But man, I kind of wish that when they had that little post game celebration that D Book would have stepped to the mic and just said, you know, hey, Patrick Beverley's a punk bitch, and has just dropped the mic.
Oh my gosh!
But you know what?
That would have been epic. That would have been classic. Yes.
I did see. Did you guys see Pat Bev's tweet? He did apologize to CP3. So I don't know if you guys saw that yet or not. He apologized on Twitter. I don't know if he reached out in person or not, but I thought that was a good, nice gesture. I mean, at least he saw the error of his ways. You know, it's better than him not saying anything. So, you know.
Okay. I'm calling bullcrap on the Twitter apology, and here's why. You tweet apologies so people can know that you apologize. If he really sincerely just meant it, we wouldn't even know. He would pick up the phone,
yeah,
and call it.
He would have just called him
DeBoss.
He would have just called DeBoss. Right.
And keep that private and let CP3 then say, hey, look, you know, I talked to Pat Bev. It's all good. That's a sincere apology. It's like if you go out and you buy someone something, and then you tell everyone that you bought it for them. Yeah, man, I bought, me and my boy went out to dinner. I paid for all the cigars and the drinks and all the food. I would be like, what the hell are you telling anybody for? So I called crocodile tears. Apology.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't buy it.
Well,
Twitter apologies.
I mean,
Twitter apologies, I don't buy it.
Yeah, you could look at it that way. Like I said, you know, to my detriment, a lot of times in life, I always assume that people would do things the way I would do them. So automatically, I assumed that he had already reached out to CP3 before he did this. But you guys might be right, and Paul, you might be right, and you know, who knows? Maybe his agent put him up to this because it's like, look, dude, you know, let me ask you guys this, because someone asked me this morning, and I didn't have an answer to it. What's Pat Bev's contract status going into next year? Is he unrestricted, or is he signed?
I'm not sure. We could try to look it up real quick, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm gonna look it up real quick while you keep talking, Paul.
What I'll say about this though is, see, you can fool a lot of people. I'm from the west side of Chicago. I know exactly where he went to high school, and I spent a lot of time down the street. That was a bullcrap apology. That's that Chicago.
Yeah, he's
okie doke.
That's the one. He's an unrestricted. After next season, he's an unrestricted free agent, so he's got one more year with L.A.
Oh, okay, so he's got one more year. Because I'm like, maybe you guys are right. And I'm thinking maybe his agent put him up to it and was like, look, man, we need to be in a better bargaining position and have these other teams look. But if he's signed through next year, I don't know. I mean, I'm not, like I said, I'm sitting here thinking that he might have done the right thing, but, yeah, Paul, you might be right. You know where he's from. You know his hood better than me. So, yeah, I defer to you on that one. But, you know, guys, I mean, I'll tell you this, man. I hate to kind of say this, but I'm old enough to have lived through all three of the Suns' Western Conference championships. And it's funny because I'm seeing a lot of stuff on Twitter about, oh, where were you the last time they made the conference finals? And I mean, I'm proud of them. I'm happy. I mean, it's great. But like I said, I've lived through two of these before. And ultimately, what I remember is I could tell you exactly where I was when they lost both champion, you know, when they lost in the finals. I know exactly where I was. I know exactly what I was doing, you know, when they lost. And so, I mean, I'm proud of these guys, man. They worked so hard, and Monty has coached his ass off, and the trainers, the assistant coaches, everybody, and the players. Mm-hmm. I mean, goes without saying. But, man, there's still work to be done. There is still work to be done. I don't care who comes out of the East. They're just not going to go in there and lay down. So, I mean, we got to get that Larry O'Brien, man. I mean, it's great they had that silver trophy out there. That's wonderful. We got another banner to put up, but we need to put up the real banner. And you know, it don't mean a thing if you ain't got the ring. So we got to get those.
Ain't that the truth? Look, before we let you go, I want to play something for you real quick before I let you go. This was, to me, this talks about the Suns' season in a nutshell. So they just came off of beating, obviously, the Clippers. Before that, they beat the Nuggets. And when they beat the Nuggets, we got to hear this.
They beat us. They whooped our ass.
So that was nice to hear. But my favorite one is still from the Lakers.
I mean, they pretty much just kicked our asses. I mean, it's nothing else really to say.
thanks, LeBron.
So you can always have those thoughts and have some good feelings. And I know that there's still more work to be done. I think with this team, though, they know that the head of the snake, Monty said, we got to get back to work. Celebrate it tonight, get back to work. Booker said, hey, this is great, but we haven't done anything. We're going for the Larry. Chris Paul said this is great, but we got to go for it. And it's and same with Jay Crowder. So if you have all your leaders saying it, the troops will fall into place. And I think this is a different team. I've said all season, this is not SOS. It's not the same old Thud. This is a different set of dudes over the last 10 years. And I just, I'm very happy for them. It's been a pleasure covering them. And, yo, I appreciate you calling in and sharing it. Ed, where were you when the Suns won, went to the finals in 93?
Oh, my gosh. When I was 23 years old. Oh, my gosh. I was in my junior year. I was back east. That was my junior year in college.
Right on.
Wow.
Wow. Right on.
Let me think. Now that was right before I went to law school. So I remember the finals. Like I said, I remember I was living at my I think I was still living in Los Angeles at the time, but I remember being, I was at home, his house, during the finals, and I remember watching that game when they lost. I think, who was it, Paxson hit, Jordan did a pass out to Paxson. I think he was the one that was like nail in the coffin, if I remember right, John Paxson. That was, ugh.
And I have that game because, like I said at the start, I am from the west side of Chicago. So I probably don't share the same angst that you do on that game. But I still have that game on VHS, and I remember it distinctly. Jordan to Pippen, Pippen to Grant to Paxson. That was the order
Grant
of the pass.
Paxson. Okay. No, yeah. That's in the same level of infamy as when ASU lost in the Rose Bowl. With Jake Plummer, you know, that it's that same level of heartbreak where it's, I'll never forget it. I remember right after that happened when they lost, I remember I went for a bike ride. I walked out of the house, got on my bike and like rode for a couple of miles just to try to get, you know, some energy out there. Cause I was so, I hated that. Yeah. But,
cool.
You know, yeah, and I can remember going back even further. I was 13 when the Suns played Boston, and I remember watching Gar Hurd hit that. Yeah, 76. I remember Gar Hurd, who was my favorite player on that team, hit that shot heard around the world, and then I think that was they went in a triple overtime, and that. Five, as I recall, that was Game Five, and then the Celtics just wiped them out in Game Six, if I remember correctly. And I remember I hated John Havlicek after that. I mean, just hated them. You know, so I mean, it wasn't even close. And I'm really happy. I'm so proud of these guys, man, but we got to get that. These guys got to get the ring, man. They have got to bring that trophy back home. So, you
That's
know,
right.
and I.
There's still business at hand.
Yep. And I have, so. I just, you know, I'm a lot like you, Paul. I feel that it's different. You know, there were a lot of flaws with the 92-93 team and the 75-76 teams. There were some flaws. And, I mean, I'm not saying this team is perfect, but. You just have that sense that, hey, man, this can happen. This is a reality. These aren't underdogs, man. We're favorites.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. So. Yep, it's gonna be different, I believe. I believe it's going to be completely different. But, Melissa, appreciate you calling in, and go Suns.
Anytime, fellas. Loved it. Enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Here we go. And we're going to step away for a quick second, come right back, share a couple more thoughts. Listen, we have so much sound. We're going to bleed some of this over to tomorrow because I think every bit of sound we have is worth listening to. It's the Cave Show with PLR, one and only Ed Cole with me today, live from Maduro's.
Fine Cigar.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
Hey, this is Mikel Bridges with the Phoenix Sun. I'm in a cave with PLR.
You know what, Ed? I got to bring us back the right way. Welcome back to the Cave Show with PLR. Hanging out with the one, the only Ed Cole. Listen, make sure you're following us on social media at The Sports Cave on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Cave is with a K. The website is thesportscave.com. Again, Cave is with a K. And you can get me over at the Twitter on PLR on Sports. And sometimes you just got to let this marinate. I'm going to let this marinate for just one second. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. So every time the Suns have won a playoff series, I've played that. Now, here's the deal. We're going to be businesslike, too. We're going to be Suns heavy, obviously, today, obviously, tomorrow. And we don't play that song again until they win another playoff series. Because if we keep playing it, we're celebrating a Western Conference title. We don't celebrate those that hard. So, Ed, I do want to say something, though, about Devin Booker. That goes deeper than basketball. He talked about the feeling he had. Mark Spears, great writer over at ESPN, asked him if he talked to his dad. This is what Devin said.
Talked to him. Talked to my mom already. Yeah. My sister. Man, we've been through a lot, you know, since day one. You know, before the NBA, before that, you know, they've stuck behind me all the way. And, you know, having their acceptance of me and understanding what I'm going through keeps me driven every day. You know, putting smiles on their faces, being able to, you know, provide for my family, take care of my family. You know, there's no feeling like that. So, you know, that keeps me on this everyday pursuit to be legendary for real.
And I'm going to ask you about what kind of workout did your dad put you through in the offseason, and how did he help prepare you to get to this moment?
We've done pretty much every workout you can think of, you know, from when I first moved with him in Mississippi, when I moved down to Moss Point, Mississippi. And, you know, I always had a love for the game of basketball. I was always a student of the game, but, you know, I wasn't aware of the work that goes into it. So I was always good, but, you know, he made me take it the extra mile. He pushed me. You know, I had never been pushed before. You know, I never had the truth told to me, you know, at all times. You know, somebody that, you know, is telling the truth out the goodness of the heart to see you succeed, you know, you can feel that. So, you know, it just makes you want to be better every day. But workout-wise, I've done it all.
And how do you not respect that? how do you not?
That is just so cool, the fact that he has that bond and relationship with his parents, and especially with his dad, with the workouts and everything, and to have his dad Melvin and be involved that intricately with the growth of Devin as a player and as a man. That's unbelievable, amazing. Just how he, just the support system he has from his family. I mean, his biological family as well as his son's family. It's just. How could the young man not be where he is right now at this stage of his career, with all the success he's had in his 6 years, and they are on the verge of a championship with all, as hard as he's worked to get to where he is and to bring the Suns to where they are right now, again, four wins away from their first NBA title ever. I mean, you gotta just love D-Book and what he's done and the progress that he's made. He's such a quality young man, too. At his age, to be where he is, I mean, there's a lot worse things you could think of that a professional athlete of his caliber and his stature would be into, but he's not, because of that guidance from his parents and the guidance from a Chris Paul or a Monty Williams or a James Jones or any other person that's had that kind of influence on him.
This segment was brought to you, our final segment was brought to you by Scout and Fellow Wine Consultant. Tina Calhoun. Telephone number 602-410-4821. Wine done the right way. You tired of preservatives, sugars, additives, all the stuff that takes great wine and makes it bad. You tired of that, she is the person to get a hold of. She is your wine consultant for Scout and Cellar. Her number again, 602-410-4821. It's Tina Calhoun. Please make sure you get in touch with her. And the one thing I will say about this team, and I know time is going to kick us, and I want to quickly touch that other series, they're just a fun team to watch. There are teams that are fun. Watch the Atlanta Hawks. It's fun. Watch the Suns. It's fun. And the one thing they have in common, it's cool to see these young bucks get their shine. And I'm not knocking the KDs, the LeBrons, the Stephs, but after a while, you do get fatigued. Unless it's your team or your favorite player, you get a little fatigued and you want to see someone else. Quick notes, though, no Giannis tonight. He has been ruled out. We have about a minute left to break this down. And sorry, time is short. This was about the Suns. Without Giannis, who wins tonight? Man, without Giannis and what he brings to them, and if you don't see it, some improvement in shooting from Chris Middleton or Drew Holiday, if nobody else steps up to fill Giannis's numbers and what he's able to do, I think Atlanta can win that game. I don't know, is Trey going to play tonight? Is he going to be hobbled? I don't know what Clint Capella's status is going to be. But without Giannis, Milwaukee is a beatable team, even in Wisconsin. Well, let's remember, they were getting their ass kicked with Giannis on the floor in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And Giannis did play game one in Milwaukee, and they lost. So I'm not counting out any team coach by Monty Williams. One other announcement, though, that we do have to make before we get out of here. Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco is a place to go for all your cigars. The best part about Maduro's is Ron Harden, the owner, and good old listen, Tina is the best there is. They will help you find the correct cigar for your taste. Not every cigar is the same. A lot of people think every cigar is the same. I say to them, then when you go and buy Pop at the store, you just get one flavor. No, because there's something different. Everyone likes something different. Everyone's palate is different. So get down here, check them out, let them pair you up. Also, 1 week from tonight, Ladies Night is back. So there will be specials, raffles, special prizes. Like I said, they serve beer and wine, discounts, all that goes on. So make sure you get in here. It's from 5 till 8. So come on down for Ladies Night and check it out. And that had to be the fastest show ever. I'm telling you now, right this second, if availability hits tomorrow, we're going to wrap up with the Suns. I hope you can hang in the house with us.
No, absolutely. Yes, and I believe we're going to have Sister Joanna Rosalie with us as well. She's going to do a drive-by.
Sounds good. Ed, give them your information.
Yes, of course, here on the Sports Cave on Inside Sports Talk with Sister Joanna Rosalie on Twitter at EdCole43, Instagram at EdwardCole301, Facebook at Edward Cole.
And, of course, you get us at the Sports Cave on the Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Cave is with a K. The SportsCave.com is the website. Cave is with a K. I'm on the Twitter as well, PLR on Sports. Definitely check us out. Tomorrow, also, the last 15 minutes, we're saving for our guy, Tony Capobianco, Cuban Cowboy. We'll wrap up with a little bit of baseball tomorrow. Please come and join us. Thank you, Maduro's, for hosting us like you do every Thursday for Cigars with the K-Show. Don't forget to come in here. Mention the K-Show with PLR. You get a discount. My brother, I appreciate you very much. Thanks for hanging today. Look forward to tomorrow. Usually we go on and I say, Tips, bring us home. Tonight, today. Cool in the game. We'll wrap us up with K-Show PLR.